Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you for being here. I do just want to take a moment, actually, to sincerely thank all of you for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine, for all the support, the likes, the comments, the five-star reviews, the subscriptions, all of it. Just all of it is overwhelming. It's amazing. And I cannot thank you enough for making this unbelievable Pack-A-Day community what it is today. And just, again, tuning in every day and making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. So cannot thank you enough for that. I want to talk to you a little bit about Autograph. I know I've talked about Autograph in the past and all the great things that it has to offer. I'm going to tell you about it again because it's absolutely phenomenal. It is my go-to app every single day. When I get up in the morning, I pull up Autograph and I see what's going on. And the reason I do that is because it is everything, all Packers, all the time, all in one place. You can do this for other teams as well, but of course, it's better when you're doing it for the Packers, but all your favorite writers and articles are right there. All your favorite podcasts, including Pack-A-Day, are right there. You get exclusive content. I'll have an exclusive piece out on Saturday breaking down Packers and Bears, so make sure to check out that. Also, I'm starting to do some live halftime chats for every Packers game, so you can also check out those over on Autograph. It's everything. All the time, all at once, all Green Bay Packers. It is amazing. So make sure you're checking out the Autograph app. If you haven't downloaded it yet, it is free. You can use code PACKADAY to get signed up. It is worth your time. Trust me, and make it part of your daily routine as well, just like you do with Packaday every single day. Let's kick things off with the injury report because it's going to lead into our main topic today as well. We're actually going to start from the Bears side of things. Of course, we already know that Jaquan Brisker, their great safety, just went on IR. Hopefully he's okay. There's a head injury there, a concussion issue that's becoming a little bit worrisome and troublesome at this point. So you hope that he gets back sooner rather than later. You never want to see anything like that, especially head related. So hopefully he's back as soon as that IR stint is done, but not a great sign, obviously, that he's on IR, but he will be out for this game. Kieran Amagaji, their third round offensive tackle, is out for this one. That definitely hurts their offensive line depth. The big one, Tevin Jenkins, their starting offensive lineman, arguably their best offensive lineman, at least in the conversation. He will be out for this game as well. Tavarius Moore, the safety, is questionable. Montez Sweat, their key pass rusher, also questionable in this one. He has been practicing the last couple days. My guess is he probably gives it a go, but he is officially questionable for this game. And then good to go for Chicago, Braxton Jones, Mercedes Lewis, Noah Sewell, Darrell Taylor, and Darnell Wright, all on the injury report, but all good to go with no specific designation. And the huge news there for Chicago is Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright, their two offensive tackles, their bookend tackles, look good to go for this game. So that's going to be a huge boost to their offensive line, at least on the tackle position. Again, Tevin Jenkins being out is certainly going to hurt on the interior. That does it from a Chicago injury update. Let's talk about the Packers and their side of things. We didn't get great news, if we're being totally honest, about the injury report. Now, neither player is a starter or anything like that, but you still don't want to see rookies get injured, especially at this point in their career, and especially when it comes to Marshawn Lloyd, where he's just getting back from a slew of other injuries. He has an appendectomy. He gets an appendectomy done, and that is what caused him to not be at practice on Friday. So he is going to be out again for a while. Now, they're going to end up with some interesting injury designation stuff there. I know the Packers already reached out to the NFL to see if there's something they can do because they already brought him back and opened up that 21-day window. Well, now he's not going to be able to make it back due to a non-football injury. So I'm curious to see how this all plays out. I'm wondering if they just activate him to the roster and then put him on the non-football injury list would be my guess, but we'll have to kind of see and how Green Bay navigates that injury. But you would expect Marshawn Lloyd is probably going to be out for a while now, coming back from the appendicitis, not what you wanted to hear. And just when he was getting back and ready to play, it's back to square one. And it's just been this Oregon Trail-esque season for Marshawn Lloyd, where it's like, Marshawn Lloyd now has dysentery. Marshawn Lloyd now has this. Marshawn Lloyd has that. It's just been something every step of the way. And I feel bad for him. It absolutely sucks. But clearly, Marshawn is just getting all of it done with in his rookie season so he can go on and have a career without injury from here on out. Hopefully that is the case, knock on wood. But most importantly, hope he is doing well and recovering, because I'm sure nobody wants to deal with that, but he gets to deal with it nonetheless. Meanwhile, Jordan Morgan, shoulder injury, we talked about it the other day, questionable. However, it's the same, or he was questionable at the time on Thursday. However, it's the same shoulder. For the third time, he's now listed as out for this game, as is Marshawn Lloyd. And you would think that there's probably going to be some significant conversation. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to pretend to be. I don't want to try to guess at this stuff, but just common sense, right? The third time the shoulder, the same shoulder has been an issue. I mean, one of two things, right? You hate to say the S word, the potential surgery issue. Like, I don't know if that would need to get surgically repaired, or just give him a significant amount of time off so that can heal on its own and not continue to re-aggravate it, right? It's hard to imagine that you just keep doing the same thing over and over and let him rest for 3 weeks, come back, and then re-aggravate that injury again. So I would doubt that that's going to be the case, which theoretically, and again, I don't want to put any of this into the ether without knowing for sure. But if either of those things are the case, either setting him down for a while so it can recover, or if it's surgery, you would think that's going to knock him out for an extended period of time. Now, hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully this is not common sense. Hopefully there's some other sort of injection that they can give him or something. I have no idea, but that'd be great if this is not something that's going to cost him any significant period of time. But just based on what he's gone through so far, you would think that they're going to have to do something different than what they've done. And that could mean more rest or time off for Morgan. Hopefully not this, season ending surgery or anything like that, but we'll have to monitor it, keep an eye on it. And he again is definitely out for this week. So two rookies, Marshawn Lloyd and Jordan Morgan, both out. Colby Wooden is doubtful. We might as well have just put this as out because he did not practice all week. I would be pretty stunned if they took Colby Wooden not practicing all week, and all of a sudden, even if it was good to go, right? Even if doctors on Saturday or Sunday are like, yep, he's good. I would assume that they're going to take it a little bit more easy, call up a Jonathan Ford if you need to, or just go with the four defensive tackles. You have the depth there. It's not something that's super needed. There have been times already this year where they've only gone with four defensive tackles into a game. So we might as well just mark Colby Wooden as out for this one. Questionable are Evan Williams and Jaire Alexander. Now, remember early in the week when Matt LaFleur talked to Matt Schneidman, he said he was hopeful that all three players, Evan Williams, Jaire Alexander, and he was also talking about Josh Myers at the time, would be able to play this week. Myers is good to go. Williams and Jaire are questionable, but they did practice all week, which is a huge sign for both of them. And hopefully that does come to fruition and both of them are able to play as what Matt LaFleur was hoping earlier in the week, but they are both technically questionable. Everyone else, Kenny Clark, Kingsley Nagbare, Josh Jacobs, Elton Jenkins, Jordan Love, Josh Myers, and Rashid Walker are all good to go with no specific injury designations for this game. So just to recap, Bears, Jaquan Brisker on injured reserve, Kieran Amagaji and Tevin Jenkins out, Tre'Davious Moore and Montez Sweat questionable, everyone else good to go. Packers, Marshawn Lloyd and Jordan Morgan are out, Colby Wooden is doubtful, basically out, Evan Williams and Jaire Alexander are questionable, and everyone else is good to go there. And that sort of brings us to both Marshawn Lloyd and Jordan Morgan, two players who are now injured for a big chunk of their rookie season, and they're not alone, right? We're going to go through, and our main topic today is going to be a mid-season rookie review. Where do these rookies stand? And I also want to look at, because we always talk about the players that fans wanted at the time. Are those players playing well? Should Green Bay have gone in a different direction? It doesn't really matter all that much, but it's always kind of fun to go back and take a look at. So we'll look at that in just a moment as well and kind of look at the seasons that some of these players are having. But let's start with the injuries. Jordan Morgan, right, missed time in camp, and has now had a shoulder injury on three different occasions to the same shoulder and has missed a ton of time. All right, 186 snaps on the season. And if there is something where they have to shut down Morgan for the remainder of this year, again, not saying that's the case and not hoping that's the case, but if it were, he would end the season with only 186 snaps played. And even if, let's just say it's a one-week thing and he's good to go next week, he has still lost a ton of his rookie time just even practicing, right? I'm not even talking about playing in the games. We're not even talking about the games. We're talking about practice. We're just talking about practice here. Just getting better, learning the system, especially as he's learning a new position. He's been, you know, left tackle in college. Now he's playing right guard. Last week he played left guard. Like, he's moving all the way around. You want to give him as many reps in practice as you can possibly have, especially for this rookie offensive lineman who has had to bounce around and who was a full-time left tackle in college, who's still very raw, super talented, was a little bit of a developmental sort of player. You want those reps. So the time that he has missed has been really detrimental to his growth on this team, in my opinion. Edgerrin Cooper, go back, right? Missed almost the entire end of training camp. And as the season kicked off against Philadelphia, he was just out there for a smattering of plays. And it took a while before they felt comfortable ramping him up and giving him more and putting more on his plate. And that's in large part due to the time that he missed in training camp. Those injuries really hurt Edgerrin Cooper. And I think just his ability to be fully ready to go for the regular season, that has hurt Green Bay. We made it. Green Bay versus Chicago, coming off the bye week. One of the best rivalries in all of sports. And Green Bay looking to start the second half of the season strong. Cannot wait for this one. And just like Green Bay is ready to get back in the action, it's also time for you to get back in the action with Prize Picks. And with Prize Picks, you can win up to 100 times your money with as few as 4 correct picks. And right now, you can sign up and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You do not even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. Simply put, Prize Picks is the best way to win real money this football season. Which players are going off? Which ones aren't? Make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Christian Watson to explode versus Chicago and Chicago to have to settle for a multitude of field goals against this Green Bay defense. The best part is that there are a ton of options out there for you to choose from. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after your first $5 play. Prize Picks. Run your game. There's absolutely nothing like seeing a football game live, and that's even more so in Green Bay than in any other city or in any other stadium. I had the absolute best time going to the Houston game earlier this year as my son got to see his first regular season game live. And let me just tell you, it was absolutely perfect. And there's no question about it. The best and easiest way to get tickets is on GameTime. GameTime has a new feature called GameTime Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. When I started using GameTime, it was so easy to use. And GameTime filtered out all the extra garbage to show me just the incredible deals that they had on all the great seats. It was simple, efficient, and unbelievably easy to use. It was also super helpful seeing the seat views before buying. And enough with all the false advertising on pricing. Turn on all-in pricing on GameTime to see the total upfront cost with no surprise fees at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with GameTime. Download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game time. Then you have Marshawn Lloyd. Marshawn Lloyd is, you know, 10 snaps up until this point. And that is not due to talent or anything like that. You can tell they want to get him out on the field. It has just been injury after injury after injury for Lloyd, and now appendectomy. I mean, talk about bad luck, especially in your rookie season. Like I said, the hope is that he's just getting all the injuries out of the way now, and he's going to be good to go the remainder of his career. But this has definitely put Marshawn Lloyd back, somebody that you were expecting. Quite frankly, let's just be real, right? That you were expecting him to be the number two running back for this team. And it has not been able to be the case because of all these ailments and injuries that he's had to go through. And again, you talk about practice reps, just even missing those. The ability to pick up the blitz, it's going to be harder when you're not out there practicing it every day. We talk about if you want to get on the field, pick up the blitz. He's not even able to work on that craft because, again, of all the injuries that he's had. So that's been massively disappointing. Evan Williams recently missing time with a hamstring injury. That's been frustrating. Misses a half of the game 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago now, I guess, or a week ago, whatever, against Jacksonville. And then the full game against Detroit. That's not great. You would love to see him, and he's questionable this week. You'd love to see him healthy. And again, missing maybe some practice reps with him being limited this week. And then Ketan Oladapo injured himself at the combine, missed all of rookie minicamp, all of minicamp, all of OTAs, about till middle of training camp. And this ends up basically being a redshirt season for him in large part due to all the time that he missed and trying to catch up and make up for lost time. That is a ton of injuries for a team that honestly has not had they haven't had a ton. We haven't seen that Packers like CVS pharmacy, you know, long injury list so far this year. We've seen Jordan Love and some significant injuries here and there from time to time. When I say significant, I mean like big time players missing time, not necessarily, you know, a significant injury, so to speak. I guess Musgrave is maybe in that category a little bit. AJ Dillon, obviously. But for the most part, it hasn't been the long list, right? But there have been quite a few injuries, and the rookie class in itself is what really is sort of stung here. And it just kind of goes through almost all of them. And I'm a huge believer, and I've talked about this in the past on numerous occasions, that one of the best things that you can do for your rookie class is get them off to a strong start. Quite frankly, I think it's why the 2023 class did so well last year, is because they got off to a strong start. They were able to play right away. They were able to start learning the system, and they were needed and counted on. And I think that really helped that class to go out and perform the way that they did last year. And now this year, you've got these guys that you're trying to get off to a strong start, and instead, they can't get on the field due to all these injuries and ailments. So it's been a real bummer in that regard, just on all the injuries that have been surrounding this rookie class. But it has not been without its success stories as well. Let's start with the first overall pick, and we'll just kind of go, not first overall pick, but the first pick for Green Bay in the first round, Jordan Morgan. Then we'll go all through all of them and kind of state where they're at, how many snaps they've played, my grade, PFF's grade, and maybe some options that would have been out there if Green Bay had gone in a different direction, right? So Jordan Morgan, per my grades, he's a negative 0.65 grade, which does happen to be the second lowest grade on offense for me. Now, it just so happens that almost everyone's grading in the positive for me on offense so far, which is very rare. Rashid Walker, the only player that has a lower grade than him. I think overall, pretty satisfied, you know, as a rookie playing a new position. Not with the snaps so much. He's played 186 snaps, but when he's been in there, he's been fine, is how I would kind of label it, which is not the worst thing in the world. When you're a rookie and you come in and you play right away and you're not a, you know, unmitigated nightmare and just a turnstile and letting pressure, I'm mostly good with that to begin with. Like, those are the steps that you need to take, and the fact that you don't need to change the offense when Jordan Morgan is out there is a very good sign. And he is challenging Sean, or at least he was challenging Sean Ryan for that starting right guard spot. And I will have to say, my guess is if he never got injured this entire season so far, he's probably the sole starter at right guard so far. For better or worse, I don't know, but he probably would have been, because he was already trending that way in camp before he got injured in training camp. So he's technically my second lowest player on offense, but again, don't read too much into that. A slight negative grade, almost identical for PFF. They have a 59.2 grade on him, which is a slight negative grade, because remember, 60 is their average, right? So a slight negative for PFF, a slight negative for me. Overall, he's been solid, fine, average, whatever adjective you want to use in that realm, that's what he's been, which again, for a rookie offensive lineman, is not bad. As far as what he's been, they've been able to use him at right guard. They've been able to use him at left guard. I thought his first start against Detroit went mostly well. There's some things he clearly needs to work on. Technique is going to be a big thing. His footwork, his hand placement, those are all things that are going to be massively important to his growth and development moving forward. But for now, I'm mostly okay with where he's at. So again, if you remember, I wasn't a huge Jordan Morgan first round guy. Second round was a little bit more where I felt comfortable taking him, but I talked about this earlier this week, I think in one of the live shows, of just, if you don't take these guys, like, you end up with not having the depth that you need on the offensive line. It's not the sexiest pick always. It's, you know, it may not be as flashy as a Cooper DeJean or something like that we'll talk about in just a second here, but these are your meat and potatoes picks that you have to make. Otherwise, you end up with a bunch of super late picks. Now, that has kind of worked out for Green Bay in the past, but you can't always count on that. So I don't hate the pick. I understand it, and I do think Morgan has mostly been as advertised so far, with a lot of growth still to go. The injuries have certainly been holding him back. Some other names that were taken around that time that I know Green Bay Packer fans were a fan of to varying extents. Terry Arnold went, remember, a pick before Green Bay, but Detroit moved up to get him. I know a lot of people wanted Green Bay to move up to get him. He's played 557 snaps at corner with a 50.3 grade per PFF. Again, 60 is average, so he's been below average per PFF. Graham Barton, the guard center out of Duke that I know a lot of people wanted, and I've even seen a lot of people say something to the extent of, hey, if you were just going to end up with a guard or an interior offensive lineman anyway, why didn't you go with the guy that had played it more and that was the better guard prospect or center prospect? And that was Graham Barton. Well, Graham Barton's at 569 snaps, so he's played a lot more than Jordan Morgan. He has a 59.1 grade. Jordan's at 59.2. It hasn't been a massive discernible difference. I do think Barton looks a little bit better on the interior, just aesthetically and just watching some of his film, than maybe what Jordan Morgan has. But again, per PFF, the grade, not all that different. And I do think you're, again, get a lot more versatility with Jordan Morgan. Tyler Guyton, the Oklahoma offensive tackle that went to Dallas, he played 427 snaps so far with a 55.3 grade. More snaps, worse grade than what Morgan is at. Cooper DeJean, I know everyone wanted Cooper DeJean. He's really starting to come into his own in that Philadelphia secondary. 317 snaps so far, a 78.1 grade, so well above average, and he has been playing his best football as of late and looks to be continuing to grow. So I know a lot of people wanted that. A lot of people maybe would have been right. He's been really, really good for Philly so far. And then Kool-Aid McKinstry was another name that came up a lot during draft time. He's played 201 snaps at corner with a 67.5 grade. Don't mind Morgan overall. If you want to make the argument, obviously still for a Cooper DeJean, tough to argue against that right now. Kool-Aid McKinstry would have been an interesting conversation, but I do understand wanting to get the offensive lineman, wanting to be able to have that versatility and that depth up front. You just wish he didn't have to go through all the injuries that he's had to go through so far, especially on that shoulder. Edgerrin Cooper, plus 2.35 grade for me, my third highest graded defensive player, which is an unbelievable statistic and just shows you the playmaking ability that he has. Per PFF, they have him at 238 snaps on the season with a 69.6 grade, so above average. I probably have him a little bit higher than what PFF does. Yeah, first of all, we've seen the playmaking, right? Big-time playmaker, super speed, super athletic, still figuring out the details of the game and exactly where to be at the right time, lining up in the right space, those sort of things, not taking false steps, not firing in the wrong gap. Those are things, you know, are hopefully things that'll come with time, but right now, it's just raw, pure athleticism, and he's winning with that, but he's making big plays out of it, and that's what his calling card has been so far. Nickel linebacker, hasn't seen a ton of dime, has seen a little bit of 4-3, but primarily a nickel linebacker, but he is getting a huge chunk of those nickel snaps at this point. Two players that were drafted around there that, again, I know a lot of Packers fans had some interest in. Tyler Newbin, the safety, 612 snaps on the season with a 65.5 grade. So he's played well, and he's played a lot for New York. I think you still take Cooper in that scenario. Chris Jenkins, the defensive tackle, 249 snaps with a 52.4 grade. Again, that's probably a no-brainer. You're taking Edgerrin Cooper over that. So you're not, I don't think anyone's really too upset or complaining that Edgerrin Cooper was that pick in the second round. The next one, Javon Bullard, plus 0.5 grade from me, 469 snaps on the season, a 54.7 grade from PFF. So I have a slight positive. They have a decent negative, not anything major, but I would say still say basically like a slight negative for Javon Bullard. I liked him a little bit more in the first half than PFF did, clearly. I thought overall he came up, attacked, played physical, attacked the running game. There were a couple snafus in pass coverage, no question about it. Some things he needs to clean up, but I was very encouraged by his first half of the season, not to mention that he showed he can play in the slot. He showed he can play safety. That versatility is massively important as well. So like what I've seen out of Javon Bullard, some other players that were available at the time that, again, I know to varying degrees, some Packer fans had interest in. Ennis Rakestraw, the corner, only 43 snaps so far with a 41.1 grade. So that would not have been working out very well. Kingsley Suamataea, 162 snaps for the Chiefs with a 36.8 grade. He has not worked out as expected. Junior Colson, the linebacker out of Michigan, 115 snaps, a 39.2 grade. He has not worked out as expected. And then, let's see, Cooper Beebe, the offensive lineman for Dallas, 611 snaps, 60.6 grade, primarily as a center in Dallas so far. You could have made an argument for maybe Cooper Beebe there still, but I have no issue with Javon Bullard. I still think you take him there at this spot every single time, given those same set of scenarios. So Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, you're very happy with both of those picks. Again, Morgan, could you make an argument for Cooper DeJean or someone like that? Sure. But I'm not too upset with Jordan Morgan, at least when he's been on the field up until this point. Marshawn Lloyd, obviously, plus 0.2 grade for me, 53.3 grade per PFF, only played 10 snaps on the season. And it's basically, like we said, been a injured reserve year for Marshawn Lloyd. It's been disappointing. It's been a bummer. You wish he could have got out there more. We'll see if he can still get back this season at some point. My guess is maybe he could. I think he will be able to, but we'll have to wait and see on that. And hopefully, no matter what, he comes back strong, ready to go, and can avoid the injury bug in 2025. Other players that I know some people had an interest in. The only one really here was Elijah Jones, the corner out of Boston College. A lot of people made that correlation of, well, Jeff Hafley's coming over. Will he be interested in Elijah Jones? He has not played any snaps yet. I didn't get a chance to go look and see if that was due to poor play or if it was due to an injury, but he has not played any snaps on the season. Tyron Hopper, meanwhile, other third-round pick, has also not played any snaps this season. He's been basically a redshirt guy at linebacker, although has been instrumental on special teams. Peyton Wilson was the other linebacker that was available at the time. He's played 248 snaps, I believe it's for the Steelers, if I remember correctly, with a 63.5 grade, so above average. Not only is he getting time, but he's playing, at least again, average or above. Probably, I mean, the issue wasn't Peyton Wilson's on the field. It was the injuries off the field that were an issue with Peyton Wilson. But he's been able to overcome that so far, and he's had a pretty nice season. Again, just a 63.5 grade, which is a little bit above average. And again, Tyron Hopper, no defensive snaps and just getting those special teams reps at this point. Then you get to Evan Williams, 2.60 grade for me on the season, second highest graded defender on the team to only Xavier McKinney. And PFF has a 87.4 grade on him on 231 snaps. Really, really impressive stuff from Evan Williams. Obviously, the starter next to Xavier McKinney moving forward. In certain situations and scenarios, you could maybe see a little bit of Javon Bullard, but I think Evan Williams has earned that spot. Some other players that were available at the time, all defensive backs. Malik Mustafa, the safety, he's played 360 snaps with a 65.1 grade. Would have been a really good draft pick at that time. He would have been no Evan Williams. TJ Tampa, the corner. Remember, myself included on the live show, when they moved up, well, we'll talk about the other guy I really wanted next, but we thought for a moment, I don't know if you remember, but on social media, there was somebody tweeted out that it was TJ Tampa that Green Bay moved up for. Everyone was excited, and then it wasn't Tampa, it was Evan Williams, and everyone was like, oh my God, Evan Williams. I wanted TJ Tampa. Well, Evan Williams has been one of the best rookies in the league. TJ Tampa's played 8 snaps with a 48.1 grade. So weigh it out, decide which one you want. I think that is a very clear win for Brian Gutekunst on that one. The guy that I wanted, Jaden Hicks, the safety out of Washington State. I believe it was Washington State, right? Yeah, I think so, Washington State. 54 snaps, 80.1 grade. So barely has played, a lot of special teams, some defense. He's graded well when he has played. He's got a pick on the season already, but has not played a ton, and certainly you'd still take Evan Williams over that. So that is definitely a win for Goody and company. All right, the rest are pretty nondescript. There was no real reason to go over who else would have been picked. We're talking fifth round and later, but these were the remainder of Green Bay's picks. Jacob Monk, who now potentially moves into a pretty significant backup role, right? Now, I still think Kadeem Telford's probably your outside, left tackle, right tackle at the moment, but Jacob Monk is probably your sub interior on the interior at left guard, center, or right guard. So he moves up into a pretty significant spot if Jordan Morgan's going to be out for any significant period of time, right? Or even if just this week, Monk does move up to some extent. So Jacob Monk, nothing yet. Ketan Oladapo looks like a real true redshirt season for him. Really going to be tough to get him on the field anytime soon based on the safety play. And all these guys are young and talented and hungry and playing really, really well. So it's going to be tough to get Oladapo out there. He can play a little bit of teams, but for right now, this is basically a redshirt season for him. Travis Glover, same thing. He's the 53rd guy on a 53-man roster. I think right now, technically, there's only 52, but you get my point. There's no way he's ready to play. He's kind of the last guy up in an emergency situation. But for the most part, that's what you expected kind of when taking him. It's going to probably take a little bit of time. But if you can get another, sort of Yash Nyman out of this, another Kadeem Telford, hopefully even better than that. But there's a lot of talent there, I think, in Travis Glover. He's just not ready yet. So he's a redshirt guy, but he's on the 53-man roster. Michael Pratt is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. They got rid of him at the end of training camp and had no interest in sticking with him, which is a crazy situation, but he is now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. And then Kalen King is on the practice squad. They've called up numerous corners, including Kamal Haddon and Robert Rochelle. Kalen King has not got that call up to the active roster as of yet. He does have that availability left if Green Bay needs it through the course of the second half of the season, but it seems like they are more content with maybe some of their other corners, and it does feel like Kalen King is a true redshirt player on the practice squad this year. The heavy lifting for this rookie class right now is being done by Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, and Evan Williams. I would say especially Williams and Cooper, with some good play from Bullard as well. The injury bug is certainly bit Jordan Morgan and Marshawn Lloyd. They just have not been able to catch a break and continue to be injured and beat up and not playing to the level that I'm sure a lot of us would like them to, or just be out on the field, right? Redshirt seasons, Tyron Hopper, Jacob Monk, Ketan Oladapo, and Travis Glover, all of them are basically redshirting. We'll see what they can do in 2025 unless injuries hit and they need any of those players in a significant way. Practice squad is Kalen King, and again, gone is Michael Pratt. Overall, I think you feel mostly good. The injury stuff is the part that sucks, and you just wish that that could go away and you could turn the slider to off and just keep those guys healthy, especially in their rookie seasons. But I think you feel really, really good about Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, and Evan Williams especially. I think that group is playing well and it's really helping this defense. I think there's still a lot of hope long-term for Jordan Morgan and for Marshawn Lloyd, and then we'll see what some of those day three flyers can amount to, if anything, over time. All right, that is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Be right back here tomorrow with a Packers-Bears preview. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, most hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boomhandle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, SoCal Pack, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Love and Football, Puerto Rican Packer, and Dan Gesford. I will see you guys tomorrow. But until, oh, I should mention too, live pregame show and live postgame show on Sunday. So you're going to want to make sure to check that out as well. But I'll see you guys all very soon. Until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.